Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you are all doing well. Thank you again to Praise Team for leading us into worship. As many know, if you look around, there seems to be an imbalance in our sanctuary. You've got more people sitting on this side than on the other side. That's because a lot of our college students are with a crew conference this weekend. So keep them in your prayers, as right now they are also worshiping God and learning about God through His Word. Well, nevertheless, I'm glad that we're all here to worship God right now. If you're just joining us today or this week, we are in the middle of a sermon series about spiritual gifts and about service. So a couple of weeks ago, you may remember that some of you, during your Sunday school time, had taken a spiritual gifts survey. So by answering a lot of or responding to different statements, you can be able to help discern what are the spiritual gifts that God might have given to you to be able to serve here in the church. Now, last Sunday, we had started off this sermon series by looking at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11. And it is an introduction to spiritual gifts. So let me just quickly review what we learned last week from that message. So we answered three questions. The first question is, what are spiritual gifts? And from a passage in 1 Corinthians 12, we saw that spiritual gifts are abilities of service. Okay, they're abilities of service given to us by grace. Then our second question is, then who do we receive our spiritual gifts from? And as we said, we receive the spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. And again, if you are a Christian, if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, at that moment that you put your faith in Him, that's when you receive the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, then that also means that you are given spiritual gifts. And finally, the third question that we had asked is, what is the purpose of the spiritual gifts? Now, if we know that they're from God, if we know that they're abilities of service, then what is the point of it? And from 1 Corinthians 12, we said that the purpose of spiritual gifts is for us to serve and build up members of the church towards Jesus Christ. So now that we have like this introduction of spiritual gifts, so you know what spiritual gifts are, and you may have known like what are the particular spiritual gifts that God has given each of you after taking the survey and after praying about it, then the next step is, okay, what do I do with these spiritual gifts? How should I use the spiritual gifts in a way where it is effective? How do I use spiritual gifts in the way that God intends for us to? So recently, I have been going on a shopping spree. Well, not really. I've been purchasing a lot of furniture for my house, like bookcases, like desks, and some of you may have saw like my Instagram post after I finished like putting together my office. But I mean, I didn't just like randomly buy stuff. I bought like the things when they were on sale, because like, you know, I'm a good Asian and I only buy things when they're on sale. But anyways, like you would think that if you buy like furniture like this, it would all already come pre-assembled and you just move into the house. No, they all came in these boxes and I had to take them out, all the different pieces to actually put it together. So as I was taking out items in the box, okay, here's a piece of wood, here's another piece of wood, a smaller piece of wood, some glue, screws. Oh, it didn't come with a screwdriver, so I have to go out and buy one, buy a hammer. And what's this? Oh, it's an instruction manual. Ah, who needs instruction manuals? I can be able to put together the furniture myself, right? So that's what I did, because I thought that I was smart enough. So as I was trying to put together my furniture, let's say with like the desk, I realized that I actually can't really put it together myself. It doesn't seem to look right. Everything looks backwards. There seems to be like a leg of desk that is going up this way, another leg going that way. So I knew like something was wrong. So I had to humble myself and be like, okay, maybe I should look at the instruction manuals. Maybe I should see how I should actually put together the desk, put together these bookcases in a particular order, using the right tools, using the right screws. So there are instructions to be able to help us know how to use a certain product. So when we're coming into the topic about our spiritual gifts, again, I said that we know what spiritual gifts are, we know that God has given them to you to serve in the church, but how should we actually use them? Is there an instruction manual for our spiritual gifts? And I say yes, I say that there is. So our passage for today is Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. And this passage is like an instruction manual for our spiritual gifts. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to please take them out. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. If you don't have a Bible, you can look on with your neighbor. There's a Bible right in front of you, or maybe your Bible is right on your phone. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Roman Corinthians. Please follow along as I read, starting from verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Verse 3. "For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you and we want to just praise you and thank you again for all that you've done for us in this life. Thank you for making us, for creating us. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for giving us everything that we can ever need, especially in the spiritual sense, to grow closer to you. Lord, as we approach your word today and as we continue on this discussion about spiritual gifts, we pray that you give us wisdom, give us understanding as we look through this instruction manual on how particularly we are to use the spiritual gifts that you have given us. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we seek to do your will. We present our whole bodies as a living sacrifice to you. And we lift up these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So our main question that we're answering today is this: how can we serve effectively with our spiritual gifts? How can we serve effectively with our spiritual gifts? And we'll see that there are four ways from this passage. So let's start. Actually, there's a particular order that the Apostle Paul presents this information, but for the purpose of presentation, I'm actually going to be jumping around in this passage a bit. So let's start from verse 4, actually. Please follow along. Verse 4, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." So here, the Apostle Paul talks about an illustration. He compares the human body. You know, in the human body, there's many different members in it. You know, you have your eyes, your ears, your fingers, your legs, torso, all these different parts. And each of these parts have different functions. And he compares that with the body of Christ in the church. Just as there is one body, there is also one church. But in each body, there are many different members, but there are also many different members that build up the church. And each of these members have a different function. And we know that we each have a different function based on the spiritual gifts that God has given to you. And if you know, like from our passage last week in 1 Corinthians 12, if we actually continued on beyond verse 11, the Apostle Paul actually uses the same illustration about the body of Christ being like a human body. And he actually talks about this illustration in more detail. He talks about how the whole body, how everyone should be one. He talks about how each member has a spiritual gift. He talks about how each member, like we shouldn't be jealous of one another and be saying, "Oh, this person has a spiritual gift that I don't have. I'm jealous of them." Or we shouldn't even be say that I am better than this other person because I have the spiritual gift and this other person doesn't have that. So as we learned about this, from last week. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the church, to build up members of the church so that they can grow closer to Christ. But here's the thing. Your spiritual gift alone cannot accomplish that purpose. You as one individual being cannot be able to build up the whole church. Rather, it takes the whole effort of every single member using the gifts that God has given them to build up one another. We shouldn't have this individualistic mindset that our culture seems to impose on us today. So let's answer our question here. How can we serve effectively with our spiritual gifts? Here's the first point. We should serve in unity with other members in the church. We need to serve in unity with other members in the church. Something I learned about when I had taken classes at RPI, I took a lot of sustainability classes, and there's this whole term that's called biodiversity. So biodiversity, in a sense, talks about how, like, say, a particular field of crops, although it may be the same crop, but each one is actually genetically different. There's biodiversity in it. So that if there was a natural disaster that were to occur, like there was a fire that came about and destroyed the crops, or if there was like a hurricane or tornado that destroys all the crops. But because of this biodiversity, because there's just differences in the genetics of each of the crops, naturally, these crops should be able to sustain itself, should be able to come back to life, and the whole crop can continue to live and to continue to thrive. But in today's like modern, I guess with genetic engineering, sometimes you produce crops that are exactly genetically the same. So in that case, if you have a whole field of crops that is exactly the same, and a disaster, natural disaster comes and destroys the whole crop, then chances are the crops won't be able to come back because there is no biodiversity. And I think this is a good illustration for here in the church. Everyone here in the church is different. Everyone is diverse. Everyone is being given different spiritual gifts. If one part of the church is hurting, you have members in the church that have particular spiritual gifts to be able to encourage, heal, to show mercy to the parts that are hurting. If another part of the church is rejoicing out of something that is happening, something great is happening in their life, then the rest of the church can also rejoice with them. We need one another, and we aren't, again, supposed to use our spiritual gifts individually. We're supposed to use it in the context of the whole church to build up one another towards Christ. So in application, I want all of us, yes, if you took the survey, you may know what are the spiritual gifts that God has given you, but I encourage you to ask around in the church, especially for those people who have also taken the survey, what are the gifts that God has given you as well? That way you can be able to see the diversity of the gifts that God has given. And I think for some of us, especially if we are students and we know that, oh, I'm only going to be here in this church for a couple of years, maybe after 4 years, after I finish school, after I graduate, I'm going to go somewhere else. So you may feel that you're not part of this church. I don't want you to feel that way too. The time that you are here in this church, you are also part of the body of Christ here in CCCGA. You shouldn't think that in a couple of years that you're gone and you shouldn't get involved in serving. I encourage you, God has given you those particular gifts. Use those gifts and make use of the time that God has placed you here in our church. And it's not only here within the Ingers congregation. I think at the same time, we need to have a whole church mindset. Very often we think that, oh, the English congregation is separate from the Chinese congregation. But no, we are part of the same body of Christ. We're part of the same church here. I would think that it would be good if the Chinese congregation, if the members there can also take a spiritual gifts survey and also know those spiritual gifts and know what are the benefits or what are the gifts that the English congregation mostly has and make use of it so that we can build up one another. We are not two separate churches. We are one body in Christ. And I think another thing that we should also think about is that the church is beyond the local body. You see, here in CCCGA, this is only a local church. But keep in mind that there is also the universal church. There's the universal body of believers all around the world. Even the people on the other side of the world who are also worshiping God. Probably right now, or actually probably not, it'll be probably nighttime at that time. But the fact that there are bodies, there's brothers and sisters all over the world, keep in mind that we are part of the same body of Christ? Are we doing anything for our brothers and sisters who are suffering on the other side of the world too? How can we use our spiritual gifts to serve them and benefit them and help them grow closer to God? Again, let's answer a question. How can we serve effectively with our spiritual gifts? And the first point is to serve in unity with other members of the church. Now, if we continue on in this passage, I believe that there's another way, there's another mindset that we need to have concerning how to use our spiritual gifts in this instructional manual. Let's back up, starting from verse 3. The Apostle Paul says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." So here the Apostle says, by the grace that has been given to me. Remember how we said that spiritual gifts are gifts that are given to us by God out of grace. We're given these spiritual gifts not because we deserve them. So when the Apostle Paul says, by the grace given to me, Paul is affirming the spiritual gift that God has given him, particularly the gift of exhortation. And right now, he's using that spiritual gift to give the people in the church this particular instruction. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, and what is his instruction? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So he's instructing us to be humble, not to think of us as being prideful, continue on, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Because as we talked about last week too, when we have our spiritual gifts, we can often think that, oh, I have developed this skill, I've developed this talent, and it's all about me. But no, it's another reminder for us to humble ourselves. And what is one good way for us to humble ourselves? Is to also see that along with the spiritual gifts, God also gives us a measure of faith. It says here, but to think of sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Let's answer our question again. How can we serve effectively with our spiritual gifts? Here's our second point. We should serve according to the amount of faith that is given to you. We should serve with the amount of faith that is given to you. Think about this statement here. We receive spiritual gifts by grace. However, we use spiritual gifts through our faith. I'll say this statement one more time. We receive spiritual gifts by grace, but however, we use our spiritual gifts through faith. I'm sure you guys can think of many different situations where you actually need a level of faith to be able to do something. Let's say that if you are in school and you're trying to see whether you want to run to become the class president for your year. No, if you wouldn't have the urge to do that if you yourself don't have that level of faith inside of you that you think that you can be able to do that. I mean, no one would run for class president just for no reason. Or if you're in the work field, let's say that your boss is saying, oh, we have a lot of things that are happening and we need to assign more responsibilities to each department. If you're in one of those departments, you may not be willing to take on extra responsibilities from your boss unless you believe that you have this level of faith that you can be able to do it, given your time, given your energy, and like the mindset that you have. So you agree that in everything that we do, there's a level of faith that is needed. Or maybe let's say back to like just talking about sports, you wouldn't join like the varsity team if you don't even have the skill or if you don't have the faith that you can be able to do it. But here, the difference in these situations is that the faith that you have is actually a faith in yourself. Because you say, oh, I believe that I can have the ability, that I can have the skill to be able to do this, so that's why I will proceed to do that. But when it comes to our spiritual gifts, you know, we said that spiritual gifts are given to us out of grace, but God also provides us with a portion of faith to be able to use that spiritual gift. So we need to have a level of faith to be able to implement and use our spiritual gifts to serve in the church. But here's the main difference between the situations that I mentioned earlier and with the situation here concerning using our spiritual gifts. Our faith concerning spiritual gifts shouldn't be used or shouldn't be in ourselves. It's not a matter of whether we can do it, whether we can believe we can do it, but our faith should be on God. Do we have the level of faith that God can be able to use us as we use our spiritual gifts to serve in the church? Some people may have approached you to talk about serving as a Sunday school teacher for the junior high. Do you have a level of faith that God also has given you to be able to use that gift to teach the junior high? But again, that faith isn't about what you can do. That faith is about what you believe God can accomplish through you as you are serving. Let me give you another example. Last night, we were having another meeting for the Chinese International High School Students Ministry. So this was just a second gathering, and it's amazing to see God bring together so many different high school students from different schools together. One of our leaders, he's a freshman, he's an RPI student. His English name is Papa Smurf. I kid you not, he's actually right there. You can ask him about it. I'm sorry, I still can't get over that. But for the first time, he had the opportunity to share his testimony and share the gospel with these high school students who do not know God yet. He may not have known that God has given him that gift, but he needed a level of faith to be able to go up and stand before these students and to share the gospel, to share his testimony. But he didn't trust in himself because he was saying that he's all nervous and stuff. He had to put his faith in God to do that. So again, how should we serve effectively with our spiritual gifts? We should serve according to the amount of faith that has been given to you. Do we have this faith? Do we have this humble attitude to say, okay, I know it's not because of me, but I know it is because of God? We need to have an apportion of faith as we share and as we use our spiritual gifts. Finally, as we move along, you may be wondering, where does this faith actually come from? And I think the answer to that comes in the first two verses of this passage. Please look at me starting from verse 1 in chapter 12. And you guys are very familiar with these first two verses. But, sometimes we look at these two verses outside of the context, and then we forget that actually this is spoken in the context of spiritual gifts as well. So let's see how does these two verses apply to what we can learn about spiritual gifts. Starting from verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So this part in the book actually is a transition point. From the first 11 chapters in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul had went and talked about the whole gospel message of Jesus Christ. And after that, that's why he says in here in verse 1 of chapter 12, I appeal to you, therefore, because of this gospel message of salvation that I've talked about at the beginning part of this book, to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Paul appeals, and your translation might say urges, or might say to beseech. He's using his gift of exhortation again to tell everyone that you should all present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So what does it mean for us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice? So actually, before we go and talk about that, let's answer our question again. How can we serve effectively with our spiritual gifts? Point number 3, we should serve by being willing to offer your whole self as a living sacrifice. We should serve by being willing to offer your whole self as a living sacrifice. So usually when we think about someone making a sacrifice, we think about someone who actually gives up their life, someone who physically dies. Just like how Jesus Christ, when he made the sacrifice, he died on a cross to be able to save us from our sins. You hear and you see it in the movies, in the news. There's always this concept of someone always being willing to give up their life, to make a sacrifice so that other people can be saved as well. During this past summer, I know that you have heard about all the news about the Hurricane Harvey and how it had hit Texas. And our prayers continue to go out to the people who were affected by the hurricane and by the flooding that happened, for people who have lost their homes and lost their loved ones. So we should continue to pray for them. But in the news, there was this particular story where policemen and firefighters in the town of Beaumont, Texas, they saw a mother and with an infant daughter in the floods. And the mother was doing all she can to try to lift up and hold up the infant daughter to be able to save her. So the policemen and the firefighters, they did the best they can to bring them out and to save them. The infant's daughter was like really holding on tightly to the mother. And she was actually also having a backpack on, which helped her float as well. But unfortunately, as soon as they got to the hospital, the mother was not able to make it due to all the stress and the energy that she had put in to try to keep the life of her baby infant daughter. Yes, it is a very sad story, but this is usually when we think about a sacrifice, this is what we picture. We picture someone willing to lay down their life so that others can be saved. So when the Apostle Paul here in this passage appeals and urges us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, he's not necessarily telling us to physically die and to physically give up our life. A physical death is a one-time event. However, when we are to be a living sacrifice, it is a continual event. To be a living sacrifice is a consistent offering to God of our lives and of ourselves to serve him. We're giving ourselves up to God, not necessarily to focus on our own will and what we want, but to focus on God and what he wants, what is his will. Serving God isn't just something that we do on Sundays in church, but it is serving God is a lifestyle. Every single moment of our life, everywhere that we go, no matter where we are, no matter what time it is, we should be serving God with that mindset. And that's what it means to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. And you may be wondering, who is willing to do this? What person in their right mind would be willing to give up their life and live their life to do the will of someone else, like, let alone like a God? But you see, I believe only Christians can really do that. And I say Christians not because of anything that we can do, anything worthy about us, but I say Christians because we put our faith, see, this is the same concept again, back into God. We put our faith back into God because of what God has done for us, what God has shown us. You see, in the Apostle Paul's times, there are a lot of pagans who would make sacrifices, who would make offerings to idols and to these gods, and they do so to try to secure mercy from these idols. But however, in the Christian context, when we are offering our bodies and whatever sacrifice to God, we're not doing so because we are trying to ask God to show us mercy, but rather we're doing so because God has already shown us mercy. See, that is the difference here. Verse 1 again, Apostle Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, what is it here? By the mercies of God. See, earlier in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul had went through the gospel message and he has shown multiple times how God has shown his people mercy. God has shown us mercy in our sin by providing us a way for salvation through Jesus Christ. And we are being saved by grace and not by the law. That's another act of mercy. By being chosen by God's elected is an act of mercy. And even being given the Holy Spirit the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior is an act of mercy. See, and even the fact in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that we have no condemnation for those who are in Christ, that is also an act of mercy. Because of all these things about talking about God's mercy, that's why the apostle urges and appeals for all of us to offer your body as a living sacrifice. With this mindset in us, if we are willing to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, then and we know that God is giving us these spiritual gifts, it would change the way of how we use these spiritual gifts. That's why it is very important for us to know that if we want to serve in a church, we need to have this willingness. So to answer the question again, how can we serve effectively with our spiritual gifts? Number three, serve by being willing to offer your whole self as a living sacrifice. Finally, I believe there's one more thing, one more way that we can use our spiritual gifts in this instructional manual here in Romans chapter 12. I'll try to be quick with this. And that is here in verse 2. Follow along as I read. Do not be condemned, or actually, wrong word. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So let's see what is the last way. So how can we serve effectively with our spiritual gifts? Point number 4, serve by first seeking God's will for you through the renewing of your mind with his word. So here the Apostle Paul tells us not to be conformed to the thinking of the world, because the world has its own message, the world has its own culture, but instead be transformed in the renewing of your mind. How are we to be transformed in the renewing of your mind? We do so through this book here. We do so with the Bible, through Scripture. And again, I encourage each and every one of you, if you do not have a daily quiet time, a daily time set aside specifically to spend time with God, specifically to read God's word, so that you can be transformed and renewed in your mind. No, you should do that. We should encourage one another to do that. Only in this way where we can be able to receive this particular promise, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Many times we have this question about, what does God want for me in my life? We keep on asking, what, when we can be able to discern God's will through the renewing of mind by reading Scripture. The more that we know about God, the more that we know what he would want for us in our life, and the more clear it would become whether he wants us to do this or to do that in our life. And in the context of spiritual gifts, you may also be wondering, how does God want me to serve here in the church? What is God's will? Does he want me to serve in Sunday school? Does he want me to help out other people in their ministries? Does he want me to go out and preach the gospel and share the gospel with other people? What does he want for me to do right now at this particular time? We can't go about serving if we don't know the will of God. And we don't know the will of God if we aren't renewing our minds through God's word. So that's why this is such another important part of knowing how to use our spiritual gifts. So I encourage every one of you to please set aside time to spend in reading God's word every day. That way you can know what is God's will in your life. Again, here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, this is an instructional manual on how we should use our spiritual gifts. So let's review everything that we have learned here. We'd answer the question about how can we serve effectively with our spiritual gifts. And we saw that there were 4 ways from this passage on how to do that. Point number 1, we should serve in unity with other members in the church. Now keep in mind that we are one body in Christ. Each member has different gifts, and we should serve one another to build up one another to conform more to the image of God. Point 2, we should serve according to the amount of faith that is given to us. So God gave us spiritual gifts according to his grace, but also he gives us a level of faith. And we should have that faith in God and to see how God can work through us as we are implementing and using our spiritual gifts. Point 3, we should serve by being willing to offer your whole life as a living sacrifice. And this isn't a one-time event. It's a continual event where we're consistently being willing to be used by God. And finally, point number 4, as we just mentioned, we should serve by first seeking God's will for you through the renewing of your mind with his word. Now, this is part of the instruction manual on how we should use our spiritual gifts. If we apply these important truths and we use our spiritual gifts as we serve, then we can be used by God effectively. We can focus on building up members of the church to be more conformed to God's image so that we can know God and grow in God. This is the main purpose of the spiritual gifts. Let's conclude with this verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So being good stewards, meaning that we need to manage the resources that God has given to us. So in this sermon series, we talked an introduction about spiritual gifts, so we know what are spiritual gifts. And just today, we talked about how we are to use our spiritual gifts, in what context. But then, now we can come to ask this, how do we wisely go about doing so? So next week, we'll conclude the sermon series on spiritual gifts as we look in Matthew chapter 25, and we'll look at the parable of the talents, and we can be able to see how we can wisely use our spiritual gifts and use the resources that God has given us in the best possible way. For now, we'll have to wait until that for next week. Well, would you bow with me as we close in prayer and as we respond to God in worship? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for presenting to us the message from your word. And I know that there is a lot of content here. There's a lot of details. It might be very overwhelming, too. But Lord, thank you for giving us the knowledge and help us to know that that your word is good and your word is perfect. Whatever that you impart to us, you know that we can be able to handle it. And it's not by our own strength, but we can be able to do it and accomplish these things by your strength. Father, we seek to glorify you and honor you in every aspect of our lives. We want to be a living sacrifice to you as we live out our lives holy and pleasing to you. And we want to worship you too. Lord, continue to give us wisdom on how we are to use our spiritual gifts and how we are to serve one another here in the church to glorify you. We lift up all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen.